Welcome back to another exciting episode of Extra Features Podcast. Today we have one of the craziest films you're ever going to see. Really crazy, people. Trust me. Don't even listen to my interview. Go watch the film and come back, and the thing is nuts. The name of the film is Shithead. I have the director, Mike Moret, and his buddy, Johnny Smith. And you know what? This was still filmed 7 years ago, and I'm waiting for the sequel right now, so they better be filming it. Guys, welcome to the show.
What's up?
What's up, dude? How you doing, man?
We got to start right at the beginning. This is nuts.
Yes, it is. That's a great way to start. Yes.
Like, when you were writing this, did you like, I'm just going to throw every crazy thing I can think of into this film? Anything crazy, it's good.
Well, I mean, we definitely went balls out with this thing to make it as nuts as possible. And I think a lot of that came in through our reshoots. The original tone of the film was a little bit different. And we did a lot of reshoots with the movie and just really picking up upon Johnny's strengths and the cast and the type of humor that really played well and what wasn't really working. The original tone was a little bit darker, which might be difficult for some people to comprehend, but
it was actually darker.
It was a little bit darker,
but more in like a wah-wah kind of way.
Yeah. And then we went in a goofier direction to make it a little more over the top and just crazy with, you know, the fake corporations and fake characters and things like that.
And the first edit had far less profanity.
Yes.
Oh, see, no, I like it with the profanity.
That was my reaction to the first edit, was that the movie is called Shithead and therefore it needs far more profanity.
That really stuck with me, was after we watched the first rough cut, was as Johnny said to me, he's like, if you're going to call this thing Shithead, it's got to live up to that title. And that really stuck with me because I felt like with the first cut we had didn't do that. And it wasn't, we kind of shied away from certain things. And, you know, in the reshoots, we definitely did not. No way. You know?
So, Johnny, did you like this character in any way? Or, like, or you just embraced it and said, screw it, I'm going to play it?
I mean, yeah.
The biggest dick on the planet.
It's liberating. It was liberating to be Jordan. That's all I could say, because, you know, with a character like that, Mike gave me a lot of room to improv and stuff like that. And it's, so with a character that heinous, it's actually easy to improv and be heinous. If you could imagine, I had a handle on this character and I just felt like it was really easy for me to like, go there, and so I did all the time, and just kept pushing the envelope further and further and further and further until we could push it no more.
I definitely prodded you to be as mean as possible at times. I know there were definitely moments where I was like, you can go further and dig into that further if you give me whatever's in your deepest, darkest reservoirs of your mind, and let's just run with it.
Yeah, we would do a take like let's stick to the script, and then we would do a couple takes like that, and then we would just, you know.
Yeah.
So I want to get some basics right at the beginning. You have some fabulous music. I love the music. Like,
yes,
this is what I'd be listening to totally in college.
Yes,
hang it up.
That's actually an interesting comment, because it's by Colin Yark, and he's an amazing dude on a personal level. I really like Colin, but so talented. And he was in a group called Walter Migo, which coincidentally, I think after I met him and I hired him for the film, I found out after a fact, like, I didn't realize he was in the group, and I listened to them when I was in college.
Oh.
And I was a fan of them, and I had them on my playlist. So it was just like so amazing. I managed to meet up with him and get him involved with the film. And he mixed the film as well, in addition to doing the music. So he had played a really big role with, like, just the texture of the film.
Oh my God.
You know, I feel so bad for him, you know, especially for dealing with the donut scenes with the buffalo wings. I was very,
the guy eating the buffalo wings is the guy that mixed it?
No. That was Colin. But we made sure Colin had to do the sound for that as well.
So oh, yeah.
We had to make sure those sound effects were extra gross, and we had, you know, things were as slimy, and there was a nice texture to it. So Colin really, he really brought a lot to the table, more than just the music. You know, he was, you know, next to Johnny, I would say probably Colin was my, you know, biggest collaborator on the film.
Well, yeah, sometimes I wonder who the main character of the film really is, whether it's Jordan or the music.
I think Jordan runs that music. Without the music, there is no Jordan, and without Jordan, there is no music. I mean, I think really combined, but Jordan has to do all the work.
Drives everything forward.
Yeah, right. Without Jordan, I mean, the music would be great, but you wouldn't know what's going on. You need Jordan to take it to that 10th, 11th, 12th, and then go to the 21st level of craziness.
Right.
So,
why do you think it's so crazy?
Oh, I loved it. Crazy. So, did you actually fit in your Statue of Liberty costume, or they just gave you one and said you're getting in this?
Oh, yeah. That I don't think that's one we tried on ahead of time, is it?
Oh, no. We I just got that. I'm like, that's like an Amazon purchase or something. Yeah.
We did know, like.
That was nothing. I think I put it together with the mask and everything, but, you know, a lot of our clothes were sourced at Walmart. And some, you know, I didn't, especially with a lot of the characters, I felt like that was like an appropriate place where they would probably get their clothes. So we sourced our stuff, you know, realistically in that regard. We didn't go anything too fancy.
Well, Jordan's dad doesn't even have a shirt half the time, so.
No.
He doesn't, he's in his underwear most of the time.
Yeah. Much. And he actually has, a lot of the shirts were like custom made. I think he's got the Lake Titicaca shirt. I don't know if anyone even noticed that. Cause he's a Peruvian veteran. But yeah, no, he's in his underwear and like very short, very, like slightly too short shorts at all times.
So was that your plan?
I want to say something about that. I just want to make it clear. Tim Slisky, the guy that played Dad, he actually did not live to see the final cut of the film.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, he passed away, yes.
Yeah.
About a year ago, unfortunately, yes.
So rest in peace to Dad.
Yeah, rest in peace, Tim.
So, George, back to Mike. Your locations, you go all over the place. This is like a little bit bigger than an indie film, I found. I mean, you have a vet center, house location, a hair salon, a dentist, and a tattoo parlor, and I'm only hitting some of them.
Right. Oh, yeah. There's a concert scene as well.
I want to get to the concert scene because I want to discuss that a little bit. Right. So how did you get a vet center, or did you just put a sign up?
They actually – you can rent them out. People rent them out for weddings and things. It was difficult. That was one of the most stressful parts of the pre-production process, was just finding all the locations. I tried – to keep the story like self-contained within things that I thought were attainable. And I think for anyone that's trying to make a low budget movie, that's a smart move to just like think at locations that you can get. And we actually rented out a house. So our house became our like headquarters for a month when we did our main production. And
we trashed the shit out of the house.
We trashed the shit out of the house. Yes.
Did you get a security deposit back on that house?
I don't remember. I don't know. I mean,
I'd be so surprised,
yeah,
man.
We
drew penises on walls.
I didn't draw penises on anything. The crew did. Yeah. No, I did not draw a single dick on anything. But the entire house somehow got covered with dicks. Every prop got covered with dicks. And I'll say this though, I'm not going to name names, but they know who they are. I'll leave it at that.
It wasn't. Yeah.
No offense or anything.
It wasn't me either.
Hindsight, yeah, but, there were lots of dicks in the house and lots of damage. Tim Slisky just breaking the door, I think, a lot. And
yeah, we broke the, oh, I forgot how many times that door got broken.
Yeah, lots of things.
There were times where we couldn't get into the house just because we broke the door from slamming it.
Yeah. But yeah, that was, that, the locations were, a lot of them were sourced, you know, with idea in mind, with which, you know, we kind of built the scene around where we could get the location. And I wrote a lot of the film with, you know, that specifically in mind to try and keep that relatively attainable.
Okay. You did bring up the music location, which I do want to spend some time on. I mean, you have a full-on band at this music location. You have a ton of extras. So explain to me how that works. Obviously, the people there are there for the band, I presume. You called them up, or they're for friends, or how does that work, getting a full band going? Playing music?
I made a commercial for the film. The actual movie, the commercial that you see in the film, the Face Fuck a Concert commercial, I cut that up initially and put that on Facebook to be like, come be in a movie. Show your friends how cool you are. You're lame if you're not in a movie. And like, we put it in like an ICP kind of commercial, and we got tons of responses. And I actually had Carly Bauer help me out a ton. She was in casting then. She helped me get some extras. And we put up this commercial on Facebook. And I had like literally like a contact form I built that, you know, people could go to a website, sign up, you just give me your name. And we had like 3 days you could come out, because we shot the concert over 3 different days. And, you know, and the funny thing is the first day we did the concert, it actually got rained out. I don't know if you remember this. And we only got like 10% of the shots we were supposed to get.
Is that why we had a third day? We were only supposed to do two.
Yeah, I think that's why we ended up doing a third day, yeah. But the first day we did, we had all these extras there, and I went through all this effort to get the extras, and it got fucking rained out. And we only got a few shots. So we had to do it all over again, and we just put up the website, put up the video, and had people sign up and come out. And the group of extras we did have coming out for the final day were just awesome. I have to say that they were so down to just be in a movie and go crazy and go. I give those extras so much credit, because you don't get it. Like, if you look at the raw footage, it's hilarious. Those people were out at like 4 or 5 in the morning. They're dead tired. And then I call action and they would just turn it on like they're in a concert and start going nuts. And they kept doing it take after take.
Johnny, how does that feel for you? It's 4 a.m. You're tired. I mean, you've been filming before this. You get there, third day of this crap, and you are falling all over the place. You're rolling around the ground. You got,
and I'm playing two roles.
What's going on?
I'm playing two roles because I'm face fucker up on the concert stage and the Jordan in the audience. By that time, I was already used to exhaustion because that was just like, that was my main modality in production the whole time. I was just exhausted the whole time because we were, you know, we're shooting lots of late nights. The original shoot was only scheduled to be, what, 2 weeks, and it ended up being a couple more?
Our contract was governed by Chinese slave labor law from the 1800s. So I had a lot of leeway over what I could do with Johnny or not. Like, I could make him build railroads if I wanted to or whatever.
That's why you were so exhausted, doing railroad work all day and then doing fuckface at night and then doing Johnny when you had your spare breaks.
Right, right.
So how is working with babies, guys? Like, there's a lot of babies in this movie.
Terrible. Babies are terrible. You know, when you go to film school, they tell you the two things. Don't work with animals. Don't work with babies. And for the first film I did, of course, I worked with goddamn babies and painting their faces and everything. There's like 6 kids that play that baby in the movie, I think.
One of them
was super sick, I remember, and came and got Erica sick, and then we couldn't shoot with her. And then another one was we had a set of twins, and one of the twins was just not good on camera, and the other was very, you know, camera shy as well, but we had to like a lot of trouble with that. I'm pretty sure there's at least 4 or 5 babies. It was really difficult.
But think about this, though. All of those babies are at least in seventh grade by now.
Yeah, they might be in college. Yes. Second grade. Yeah.
Or college.
Okay.
With your master's.
Your character has a girlfriend, obviously, her sister, the dentist lady.
Yes, Anna.
Tell me she's the nicest person on the planet, because she is just awful in the film to everybody.
She is very nice, yeah.
Yes. Anna's fun to work with. Yeah.
Consummate professional.
Yes.
Because numerous times, you just wanted to punch her out. And I was like, is there a scene we're going to see her getting knocked out, which never happened, but I was waiting for it.
No, she gets her, I don't want to spoil it. She gets her comeuppance.
I know, but not what I wanted. I wanted a full-on Johnny just take her ass
out. Not down, yeah.
Okay, how many buffalo wings were consumed on set?
Oh my God. I feel so bad. I mean, that was one of the things we came out with in the reshoots was, as we realized, like, if we're going to have, I remember if you look at the, history of Apocalypse Now, Francis Ford Coppola said, I came to the conclusion that anytime I needed a shot, there needed to be helicopters in the background to sell the effect of Vietnam. And it was this difficult thing where they had to then coordinate helicopters back then because they didn't have CG. And then it became that way with Tim, with Donuts, because it was just like, we couldn't have a scene with him where he wasn't consuming buffalo wings. He couldn't be on screen. It didn't feel right.
He breathes buffalo wings.
So I don't know how many. I know for the first part of the shoot, I used to get him the Domino's buffalo wings when we had a little bit more money. And I was like flaunting
one day,
cash.
And then it eventually worked its way down to 7-Eleven.
7-Eleven buffalo wings, where they're not even food, and they're like hard.
One day he confessed to us that he doesn't even like buffalo wings at all.
No, I feel so bad. I don't know. I don't.
And we're like, but you're 700 pounds. How do you not like buffalo wings? Nobody understood, but
yeah, I mean, he just doesn't like spicy food. I think I don't know. I don't know on that one. Yeah, so the answer to your question, I don't know. Undetermined amount of buffalo.
Oh, he started with good buffalo wings and ended with 7-Eleven buffalo wings. That's the highlight.
Yes. I mean, we ran out of money. You're not going to lie. So.
Okay. Quick question. The Tornado, I think it's Tornado Hackers DVD. Is that a real thing?
No Hackers.
No, that's not. DVD. That is not a real film. So I made a short film version of Shithead. And in the short film version, it's actually Hocus Pocus, the movie, the Bette Midler movie. So in this version, obviously I did just make my own, you know, fake film. And, you know, it's just like an imaginary, you know, action film about two guys that like hack tornadoes to cause destruction and damage and mayhem. I mean, I should probably make that next. That's probably what we should have made instead of Shithead. It would have been, you know.
Tornado Hackers.
Yeah, it probably would have been pretty sweet.
Johnny, what are you really smoking when you're smoking Chinko?
Well, what I was really smoking was weed.
Nice.
But when you see Cheat Chinko, it's like, Pop Rocks dyed black or something?
It's Black Rock candy. And basically... Yeah, it's just Black Rock candy, and we crush it up. Anytime you see him smoking it, I think he was just smoking weed.
Yeah, anytime you see me
yeah, I think so.
Inhaling and exhaling vapors, yeah. It was marijuana.
It's the safest substance for him to pretend, I felt like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was off cigarettes. So
yeah. The cigarettes are actually fake. He doesn't smoke a single cigarette in the entire film.
Yeah.
That's all CG.
He CGI'd the smoke.
We were just joking about that 2 seconds ago.
But I had no problem taking those 6-foot bong rips.
Yeah.
So did you get to keep all your Chinko merchandise, or is it on sale on your website?
It's actually hilarious. I just brought over to Johnny's, because this is the first time I've seen Johnny in about 4 years.
Oh.
I just brought over a bunch of presents for Johnny, so they're all Johnny's now.
You got some Facebook posters.
I have
from the set.
I have my apartment in California has a golden scorpion on the door, I have golden scorpions everywhere. I have a few Chenko bikinis that I lost to some ex-girlfriends. I have,
I can't believe they like wore that with seriously. They seriously wore it.
Yeah, I mean, they're around. Awesome. Why wouldn't you? I have, yeah, I mean, I'm my apartment in California is just loaded with memorabilia from the film. I have so much stuff, but I brought a bunch of presents for Johnny, so he's got a bunch of it now as well.
There you go. Now, your CGI effects are constant. I mean, I can see them all over the place. Is that right. Why the film took so long to come out?
No, I mean, I actually I punched the first VFX supervisor in the face in the middle of a West Hollywood restaurant. Nice. And started over again after about 9 months of doing VFX with him. When I found out he ran a VFX sweatshop where he had VFX artists in Italy and India that he was paying like $2 an hour to do the work, and it was terrible. So we started over again, and I brought on this guy, Will Driscoll, who's amazing. I'm super good friends with Will. Love Will to death. You know, he worked on tons of big films like Men in Black and everything. And, you know, Will came on board and, you know, we knocked out that effects together in about, I think it was about 9 months. But there's a lot of reasons the effect it took so long, but, you know, the visual effects were part of it for sure. Yeah, it didn't help to have – I think we had like – what is it, like 800 visual effects shots or something insane like that. It's ridiculous.
I can believe it.
Yeah.
There's tons of them. You can see them.
Yeah.
Okay. Setting up the Facebook page, is it still active?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, wow.
It's Jordan Cantwell's Epic Quest, I think. Yeah, that's our Facebook page.
So casting, was Johnny always your first choice and everybody you knew who was going to play what, or did you hold roles, or how did that work?
We had casting sessions. I mean, I don't know. Do you know the story with you getting cast? I mean,
I know I was the last person to audition for the role.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. We basically had every role cast. We had everyone in the film was locked, but we didn't have our shithead. We didn't have our lead. And we had been casting the film. I held casting sessions for months. We were in our last casting session after, I think it was 3 months. I was like, if we don't find our lead character, you know, I'm going to delay the film. And then Johnny just happened to come in like very, very as miraculously, I was like so burnt out by the time you actually came in to cast for us, and you know, miraculously he was our shithead.
So how did you find out about it then? If you were cast the last guy, so how did you find out about it, Johnny, getting involved in the film?
Well, Mike contacted me actually. I think he found my profile on backstage.com. But at the time, I don't think I was checking it that much.
Oh, yeah.
I was already, like, busy working, so I wasn't, like, looking for a gig. And I checked it, and I saw a message from him, and it was, I think, maybe, like, a week or two after he had reached out initially. But I got back to him.
I stalked him a little bit. I was, like, I was really trying to find out, like, where he lived. And
at the time, I was doing a whole bunch of Shakespeare and sketch comedy in Philadelphia.
Oh, there you go. That explains a lot.
Yeah.
Sketch comedy totally works for this, I think. That prepped you a lot, I would say, to do this film.
Totally.
And that's why when I really started seeing how talented Johnny was with his improvisation skills, that's where I kind of just, like, let him go nuts. And, you know, with the Facefucka character, like, we kind of just collaborated and made that together. It wasn't like in the script originally or anything. It was just sort of like this collaborative idea that came to life.
Well, I was a card carrying gigolo.
Still are, right?
I mean, I don't
are you wearing
I'm wearing the shirt. Then.
He's wearing an ICP shirt right now.
I thought he was. I wasn't sure because it was kind of covered. I'm like, it looks like them, but.
I guess I am still.
But you I have used to a paint juggler my face statue right there.
Okay. He's correct.
And the whole ride over here, you rocked ICP.
You make a valid point. Three valid points.
So, Mike and John, this may be a question. At any time, did an actor in the film stare at you guys and go, are you crazy?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. For sure. That was probably Erica's the general look on her face the entire time.
Yeah.
She was
very wholesome, I think. we may have scarred her poor soul. I'm not sure if she's been the same. Has she been the same?
No, I don't think she is. Most people they read the script, so, you know, there wasn't like that sense of shock almost. They knew what they were getting into. We did have one actress we did have to recast because, you know, she just got on set and couldn't do the things that we kind of had rehearsed in the rehearsals and everything. And it just, she got like shell shock and everything. But I mean, there were a lot of moments where I definitely kind of pushed people's buttons a little bit to see what they would do on camera and not. And, you know, I think we had the biggest pushback would be maybe from Master P or a few of the like side characters and stuff, you know, because if we ever had like extras in the scene, I always try to direct the extras like very specifically. Like I'd tell like the one extra in the hair salon scene, like act like you're eating bugs out of her hair instead of like cutting her hair and shit. Like, and just like sometimes people would look at me like, what the fuck do you want me to do? Like, but nah, the main cast was cool. Mostly.
Was your plan always when you started writing to make an R-rated film? I mean, Johnny, were you okay with an R-rated film? You're like, whatever, I'm going into it. Sure, I know what I'm getting into after reading the script.
Yeah, there was never any, never, we were never going to censor this.
I didn't have any problem doing that kind of thing. My brand is always, has always been kind of like raw humor. When I did sketch comedy in Philly, my group was very risque. You know, we were, we weren't like known as like hard to get along with, but people didn't invite us to come play very often because we were just very, very raunchy.
And you're perfect. So where did you guys learn filmmaking? Where does it come from? I mean, Johnny, obviously I know you're sketch comedy and you've done thing, but Mike, where's your filmmaking skills come from? Where does it start?
Well, I went to Drexel in Philly. I grew up in Jersey. So, you know, you just like anybody else, you play around the camera, make movies when you're younger. We'd make short films and things like that. And we had like a YouTube channel at one point that got pretty popular. Made a lot of viral videos back in the day that I obviously eventually took down because I think they violated multiple copyright laws here and there. But when all that changed and, you sort of cut your teeth in, actually just going out and making shorts, which is what I did. And I made a lot of shorts when I was younger. So,
Johnny, when you go into a part, are you method? Because, I mean, can you play this guy method, or do you need a break when you come out of him?
I won't say I was method with Jordan. I don't get involved in too many roles to the point where it, you know, affects my emotional state. So much, I'm able to pretty easily turn it on and turn it off. But for like, I'm very big on like what I'm doing physically and vocally. Like some of my idols are like Tom Hardy and James McAvoy and Robert De Niro and people that are just like transform, you know? So I definitely went the method route of like, what the fuck would like Jordan's diet be? So I could like, I ended up eating a lot of pizza on set just to like, you know,
Johnny also had a muse too. We had a PA by the name of Master P and he, sorry about that. He was he was like a juggalo as well. And we hired him as a PA. He worked in ACCO. He lived in ACCO right around the corner from where we were shooting. And, you know, he had a lot of similarities to Jordan in some regards with his demeanor and things like that. And Master P was amazing. Like, I love Master P so much. He was just down on set. He'd do whatever. You know, we needed help with, like, the lawnmower to mow the lawn or, like, go get Erica some almond milk for her latte. He was do whatever. And Johnny, I remember, would usually – a lot of times you'd spend some time with Master P and just, like, absorb his energy
before you did a scene. We'd be kicking it. We'd be kicking it.
And, like, just absorb that.
But the best Master P memory was we tried to do a scene with him behind the tattoo parlor. So it was like while Jordan's on his way into the tattoo parlor, and this guy, I don't know if you remember from the film, there's one scene where like I'm like trying to sell the guy weed or something, and he's just like, he's in a red shirt, and there's not much that happens in the scene. He's just like, the weed's not that good, and I'm like, Luchenko's not that good, can you watch the baby? And he's like, nah, I want to play video games and smoke
jazz. Yes.
Then I tell him to raise up out of here. That's Master P.
Yeah.
So we tried to do another scene with him where he was just going to be pissing on the wall of the tattoo parlor as Jordan arrives. And in order to prepare for this scene, he chugged 2 40 ounces of Old English. Was it Old English or Mickey's Ice?
I don't know, dude.
It was Old English, I think. And he chugged these 2 40s to prepare himself. And then when we got the camera out there, he got bladder shy and could not pee.
So, yeah, he was going to actually, like, take his dick out and piss on camera and, like, do the whole, like, but he got bladder shy and couldn't do it. And so I forget who it was. Someone came up to me, I think it was Mikus, right after, like, the first day, and they were like, yo, like, Master P will do whatever on camera. Like, anything. For $100, like, anything you could think of. And we were having, like, the whole crew was just throwing things out there. Like, what can we have him do? And I know a big one was like, let's have him eat puke. And I definitely was like, no, we're not eating puke. That's just, like, that's just not something I want to see or, like, even talk about. Like, so we kind of landed on that, having him, like, piss on a wall. And, yeah, he got stage fright, and we wasted, like, 2 hours.
I just can't imagine the pain of having 2 40s in your system and being too bladder shy to piss it out.
Masseri is so bad.
He was in agony.
Yeah.
And he was so frustrated with himself.
Because he wanted to do it. He really did.
Is this the John Master P something? It's the whole house. Is that the end of the film? That's where you guys were.
He passed away actually.
What?
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
God.
So there were a lot of people didn't make it to see this.
Yeah.
The film's released.
Yeah. I mean, I, you know, I'm not gonna deny whether I used like napalm on set, but like I don't know if I had that an effect on anyone, but you know.
So
I don't know why people are dropping like flies all left and right, yo.
Johnny, how was having a stunt double?
It was great. It was really good.
Did you really have a stunt double? Because I couldn't tell. I was looking for this. I'm like, there's no stunt double.
You're looking at his stunt double right here.
Mike was the stunt double.
He really was a stunt double.
When you see
that was me.
When you see Jordan trying to stick Chenko up his ass
and
set up the car, and you see the ass.
Yes.
His ass.
It's my ass.
I had an ass double.
Yeah, no, I mean.
It's because my ass is really too
it's
smooth
too, it's
and
too
sexy.
Beautiful. Yeah, mine is all grimy and gross, so we wanted to gross it up. But, no, I mean. Like I figured out I fit into his clothes, and we had the Jordan wig. We had a wig for Jordan. So literally, if you took the camera far enough, as soon as I figured out, I'm like, I can just double for Jordan. I added in like pratfalls here and there. I'm like, okay, if he fell here, I'll fucking just fall, you know, and I'll just do it and record myself actually falling, and yeah, I did a ton. I fucked myself up pretty bad for
you
a few minutes.
You fall all over the place. You're constantly falling. Anytime you run, you take a header, some kids take you out. I mean, yeah. You're taking a lot of abuse. Now I know it's Mike that took all the abuse.
Oh, yeah, and the one in the car especially, like, we did a few takes on that, and, like, he like, swerved the car and just, like, threw me around the inside of the car with my fucking ass out. And Johnny, I feel bad, because, like, that was in the script, and, like, he was a champ. I mean, he did do it. We did do a few takes, but, like, I just needed a few more shots. That's why of you, like, literally, like, hitting the wall, like, in pain kind of stuff. So I wouldn't want to have you do that.
I don't want to leave out the cop. Is he supposed to be the Terminator?
Is he? I think he would love to be a Terminator. No, he's just the most racist cop on the planet. Like, essentially, like, I kind of looked at the perspective of, like, the police in the shithead universe are just, as opposed to being tacitly racist, you know, not out in the open, these guys are openly racist, and they just admit it, and, you know, that's just, they wear it on their sleeves. So he's just, like, the biggest dick cop on the force of the racist police force.
Okay, before I let you go, I do this every show. If you've listened to an interview, you know what's going on. Don't, you're out of luck. I do three fun questions at the end of an interview, so you guys both get to answer them.
Oh, yeah.
All right, sweet.
Oh, yeah.
So I do this every time. So just because your first time on the show, I know Mike are coming back for something in the future, but we won't talk about that now. your favorite film. You will never get this question again, so give it to me now.
You go first, Johnny. You probably answer that easier than me.
Reservoir Dogs.
I mean, the only thing I can say is Tales from Space Odyssey, and they could even come close to saying that.
Number two, since you're both in New York City and it's non-COVID, let's just presume it is, your favorite thing to do?
In non-COVID times.
Non-COVID times. I know there's nothing to do in COVID, or maybe there is now.
With Johnny or with, like...
No, other- by yourself. You don't have to know Johnny.
Well, my favorite thing to do, out and about?
Yeah.
Out and about.
What do you like to do, Johnny?
In New York City.
Yeah, it's your city, not mine.
I like to go to work. I work outside.
Fair enough.
I work outside 40 hours a week on my feet. Good day job.
We're going to talk about this afterwards. We might have the same job.
Yeah.
Mike, your favorite thing to do in New York City?
I don't really go to any. I mean, I'm from Philly. I don't know. I mean, I'm from L.A. now. So in L.A., I hike. I paint. I do things like that. I really can't say what I would do in New York. I don't know what the fuck to do here, man. This isn't my town. I feel out of place. I'm like...
I'm outside all the time when I'm at work. So when I'm not working, I'm a homebody and I'm reading comic books.
Yeah.
Same as him. Okay. Number three, you guys are back in the theaters. They've opened for the sake of my argument. Your favorite snack to have?
Chocolate covered raisins, maybe. Right.
I'm going to go.
Raisinets. No, they're called raisinets, right? Yeah.
I gotta get a box of watermelon Sour Patch Kids, and then I gotta have a large popcorn with lots of butter.
Yes.
Dude. And an icy if they got.
I'm a fat kid, so I gotta icy do. If they got. I gotta do the icy too, man. And those cheese pretzels. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Those like some theaters. Too. Those are like...
Those are good, too.
If they have them at the theater, you know it's extra good.
Call your cardiologist.
Yes.
Lots of salt.
Yes.
Okay, first off, where can they see this great film?
It's on Amazon right now. It's going to be on Tubi, I think, in about a month.
Can't wait.
And then we'll see. It's on iTunes and Google Play. I got to talk to, you know, I got some debts with like the Korean mafia. I got to work out, but as soon as I work that out, it'll be back up on iTunes. And you know, like just give me a few weeks to like, you know, I got some bets down on these horses. I swear I'm going to win these next races.
Johnny, do you have another film you like to promote right now or a website or something where people
can get actually, I'm a rapper.
Oh, there
so,
you go.
So I would like to promote my rap music at this junction in time. And so go to www.johneraps.com. That's JohnErapS, JohnERaps.com. And there's the link to all my socials, you know, link in bio on all platforms.
We are working on a music video right now for his new song, his new album coming out this summer.
Yeah.
So he's got a bunch of music videos, and his music's awesome.
Guys, thank you for your time. Your film is awesome. Have a great night.
Thanks, man. Right. You too. You're amazing.